Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus. That's how you say it, to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and on Amazon.com. Tyler, I don't think I've ever not butchered that in some respects. Like, I always bumble it in some respects. So, No Halftime app, No Halftime app. No Halftime app. If you haven't downloaded it, download it and use it.
Yesterday, man. It was bad. It was bad.
We're going to be taking a look at the DFS slate for Tuesday, November 15th. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA, and I'm joined tonight by Tyler Watts. You can find on Twitter at Wattsy4444. That's WATTSY. There is the SY though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to get that in there. All right, 5-game slate. Toronto at Cleveland. Atlanta playing the Miami Heat. Charlotte Hornets at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Chicago Bulls at Portland Trailblazers. And the Brooklyn Nets at Los Angeles Lakers. That's what we have to look forward to for Tuesday. Over-under-wise, that Brooklyn at Los Angeles game is super interesting. 219 over-under on that game. The next highest one is the Chicago at Portland game at a 213 over-under. And then the third highest game is Toronto at Cleveland, which has a 210 over-under. And then we got a 205 and a 199 with the Charlotte at Minnesota and the Atlanta at Miami. I mean, you're going to be looking at players from all these games, obviously. And I don't know if there's anything that's going to heavily inform my picks out of the over-unders and the spreads for Tuesday night slate. Maybe I might look a lot more at some of the Chicago and the Chicago at Portland guys, but there's going to be reasons for me to turn away from some of the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Lakers guys, just because those rotations go deep and a lot of the guys don't get huge minutes. So some of the breakout potential is somewhat limited.
Yeah, totally agree there.
Tight money. Second day of a back-to-back on Tuesday. Both Miami and Brooklyn will be playing that. On Monday night, Miami played the San Antonio Spurs, and Brooklyn was in Los Angeles before playing the Clippers. So Miami, of course, matching up against Atlanta on Tuesday. And then first day of a back-to-back set, Toronto, Atlanta, and Cleveland all are playing the first day of a back-to-back set. So they'll all play on Wednesday as well. Toronto has a really mean schedule there. They're playing at Cleveland on Tuesday, and then they got to host Golden State on Wednesday. Atlanta is playing at Miami and then hosting the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday, and Cleveland is hosting Toronto and then playing at Indiana. So, I mean, as far as like a gauntlet there, you're looking at Miami playing on the second night of a back-to-back on Tuesday, and they had to go through San Antonio in San Antonio on Monday. And then of course, Toronto having a matchup against Cleveland and Golden State, the two teams that were in the finals last year. So quite the challenge there.
I always find it crazy that they don't do like more back-to-backs like they gave Brooklyn, where they're both in the same place, or like give you two home games, like at least give you a fighting chance on a back-to-back. Like they a lot of times will do that, and they make you go somewhere and then like one home game after that. And it always just seems like that makes it that much harder.
It is really weird that you wouldn't have two home games for your back-to-back set. Like that, they should try to set that up, or you're right. If you are traveling, try to have it be a situation where you're playing either in the exact same spot like you are in LA, or places that are super close. I know that there's a lot to take into account, that it would almost be pointless to argue about it too much, but I feel what you're feeling, homie. Looking at these, usually I don't dwell on the back-to-back issues too much, but Cleveland hasn't rested guys like at all this year yet. So with this back-to-back set, what do they potentially choose to do? You know, do they want to rest against Toronto and say, "Nah, we really don't want to give them too much of a look right now, because we know we're probably gonna have to go through them in the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially, if not Boston." Or do they rest them against Indiana, because they'll be playing at Indiana potentially? And there's no guarantee that Cleveland is going to rest any of their guys at either of the games. I just think it's something to consider. And the same for the Toronto guys. We saw Dwayne Casey rest, Damari Carroll this last weekend, and you wonder if in this back-to-back set again, if Damari Carroll might end up getting another rest game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Carroll rested, and you would think they would rest him in Indiana, but I mean, you never know anymore. The coaches always throw me off these days.
Holla, holla. All right, let's just jump in. Injury-wise, Goran Dragic sat out Miami's game on Monday, and he'll likely be out again on Tuesday. He was in a walking boot as of Monday and got out of it. He was doing some bike work, but it doesn't sound like Tuesday's realistic. I would say Goran Dragic's more doubtful than he is questionable for Tuesday's game. Jeremy Lamb's going to be out again for the Hornets. Doug McDermott is out. He's not even traveling with the team right now, so he's not going to be there with Chicago playing in Portland. J.R. Smith is going to be questionable for the Cleveland game. He's missed their last game due to an ankle issue, and he was said to be limping before their last game, so it sounds like that still might be an issue for him. So you'll want to check J.R. Smith's status. And then for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Zach LaVine, Brandon Rush, and Shabazz Muhammad are all questionable. They all missed Minnesota's last game. And we saw how that led to Nemanja Bjelica having a bust-out game. And with Andrew Wiggins playing shooting guard, he scored a career-high 47 points. So if LaVine is out again, that could lead to another interesting game with that bigger lineup. Anyways, let's get into it. Let's talk about some top plays at each position. We're going to take a look at point guard starting out. That's pretty much how we always do it. It's just the simple way to go through things. Would you agree, Tyler?
Yeah, I just think it's easiest and don't want to throw anyone off by throwing some crazy positions up there.
Right, or like shuffling the positions up. Yeah, we'll just go straight from 1 through 5. All right, looking at point guard, point guard and shooting guard, I don't know if it's just that FanDuel has kind of got all their prices hammered down or refined, but there's just a bunch of reasonable buys. There's not necessarily a bunch of guys who are going to very much outperform their salary, but they also aren't going to. There's like nobody's based on where these salaries are. They're just all reasonable. So let's talk about him a little bit. Damian Lillard at 9.5K versus Chicago. I like this matchup. Chicago's coming into Portland. Portland's been playing, you know, pretty well all season. Damian Lillard's been playing really good. 9.5K, it's a lot of money, but he put up 57 FanDuel points in his last game. He's put up 42, 44, 51, 56, 54. He's put up enough games to justify using him at that price if you don't like the other options as the big ticket guys.
Yeah, I feel you there. You love the fact that he's gotten you about 450 point games already this year. So you love that. And at 9.5K, like you said, I think it's a reasonable price. If I'm playing a lot of lineups, I'm definitely throwing Lillard in some, but I don't feel like it's a good enough price where I'm putting him in every single lineup.
No, there's definitely a good chance that he doesn't necessarily hit value on Tuesday. What about Kyrie Irving at 7.4K going up against Toronto? We're definitely seeing Kyrie get big minutes on a lot of nights. He's put up 40, 38, 37, 41. So he's put up enough nights to that we know he can hit this value. And like, I'm comfortable using Kyrie, but I'm not necessarily expecting him to, like, blow up over this value or anything based on what we've seen so far this season and how his role has kind of panned out.
It's worth mentioning they played Toronto on October 28th, and he got 38 minutes in that game. He had 26 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 7 turnovers, which you don't love that, 35.2 FanDuel points, which is almost right on value. Kyrie Irving may be of, like, these kind of higher price guys. He may be my favorite point guard play tomorrow. I just think that 7.4K salary might be just a little bit too cheap, and I'm going to have lots of Kyrie tomorrow.
I love that you pointed out that he had 7 turnovers in that game, because that's something that he's probably not going to do again, which would have given him a better output for the night on FanDuel. What about on the other side of the court, Kyle Lowry at 8K in that game? What do you think about him? He's been putting up good value. And I mean, I'm comfortable with him at 8K against Cleveland.
Yeah, you like the fact that obviously he's gotten that value or better in three out of the last four games. So you like that. And the only one he didn't was the second of a back-to-back against the Knicks. So you like that. The first game against Cleveland, he played a whopping 39 minutes, and he's been playing big minutes pretty much every game all season. He only got 17 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 6 turnovers. So apparently that game was a turnover fest. So you don't love that, 19.4 FanDuel points. I'm all right with it tomorrow, but I don't love it. I think the value there is just – it's a little bit too high, the price.
So you're saying if you're going to spend 8K on Lowry, you'd rather just invest the 7.4K in Kyrie?
For sure.
What about Kemba Walker at 8.3K? He's playing against Minnesota. He's had some big nights recently, and that's got me a little bit more bullish on him. Put up 60 FanDuel points, 42 and 46. So we know that he can hit value, but are you confident in him?
Oh, man, am I confident in him? I'm not super confident in him. He has done good. Three out of the last four, he's definitely gotten the value. He struggled in the last game, obviously, with only 31 FanDuel points. I'm still going for Kyrie over him if I'm spending that money.
Yeah, you know, you look back at Charlotte's couple of games that played against Minnesota last year, and Sugar Plums, I wish I wouldn't have even. Yep, I don't have it. I was hoping to take a look and see if Rubio was in the game last year when he was the two times that I shouldn't even mention that.
Well, and I think it's worth mentioning that Rubio is actually kind of a really good defender. I mean, a lot of people not like hate on him and say like, oh, he's not a good defender. I think Rubio is a really good defender, and so I think that could slow the production of Kemba just a little bit. I'm just not loving Kemba as a play tomorrow.
What about Rubio at 6.3K? Before he got injured, he had some subpar performances, but we saw him play 34 minutes the other night with Zach LaVine being out. And if LaVine's going to be out again, I think that sets Rubio up to be at least somebody who's likely to hit value.
Yeah, no, I totally agree there. I think 6.3K might just be a little bit too low for Rubio. That's another play I'm really liking tomorrow. I just think that, you know, he's not going to score you a lot of points. Obviously, everyone knows that. But he's going to get you steals. He's going to get you assists. He's going to get you some rebounds. I like Rubio tomorrow.
D'Angelo Russell is 5.8K, and he's had plenty of games where he hasn't hit value, but he's really only bottomed out a couple of times. And I like this matchup against Brooklyn. It feels like with Jeremy Lin being out, you got some of these, you know, there's just so many D-League-ish guys in their rotation right now for Brooklyn. And I look at this as a really good possible place for Russell to kind of break out. So tournament play-wise, I'd be okay with Russell at 5.8K in at least a couple of lineups. But I wouldn't trust him in my cash games.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he really hasn't reached his value. I mean, he's got it in one out of his last six games. And he really only needs 29 FanDuel points, which is obviously something he can do, but he's been kind of maxing out at 28 minutes, so you don't love that. Like you said, though, it is a great matchup, so I would definitely throw him in some of my tournaments, but I'm not going to, like, own him everywhere.
What about Rondo at 5K? He's going up against Portland, and he had some good performances against Portland last year, but when you go back and you look and you say, ooh, in April last year, Rondo put up 59 FanDuel points against Portland. You need to look at the context of that. And at the end of the season, Sacramento was throwing out like 8 guys some nights. So Rondo played 42 minutes in that game. So maybe don't look back too hard on that. How do you feel about Rondo in this matchup, though? Because his salary has gotten down to what's kind of a reasonable salary.
Yeah, I mean, Rondo at 5.5K, I mean, you're looking at what, like 27.5 FanDuel points is kind of what you need for that 5X value. I say this a few times on the podcast, and I'm not even sure that I believe it, but they have to be one of the worst defensive backcourts, Lillard and McCollum. And I think mostly it's just because they don't really care to play that much defense. We talked about this, I think, the last time we were on together about how they kind of just need to shoulder so much of the load that they're not trying to play a super amount of defense. But, I mean, it's Rondo. I don't ever love Rondo because he's not a great scorer, obviously. So, I mean, that kind of hurts the value there. I'd give him a shot in a couple of my tournaments, but I'm not loving him.
I mean, you pointed out he would have to get about 27 FanDuel points to meet value, and he's only done that 3 times this season so far. So there's definitely risk there. I just look at the matchup, and I feel like there's the potential for him to have a good game considering his price. So
totally agree.
Cool set of that. Schroeder, 6.1K going up against Miami, second night of the back-to-back for Miami. Schroeder's been having some good games lately. 33 FanDuel points, 35, 34. He's putting up value. So like I said, it feels like there's a bunch of safe plays at point guard, and I think Schroeder's another one of them.
Yeah, totally agree. The only thing you worry about there is maybe Miami on the second run back-to-back getting blown out of the water. But I like Schroeder at that price. I think it's fair. I think I'd throw him in some of my lineups, but I wouldn't go crazy on him.
Holla, holla. Then Tyler Johnson, 4.9K. If Dragic's out, I would still feel comfortable with Tyler Johnson at 4.9K as a tournament play in some of my lineups. There aren't any like 3.5K or you know minimum salary guys who I really feel comfortable even recommending if you were just looking for a bottom feeder, a pump play to throw in. Isaiah Cannon, hate him. You know? So, anyways. But let's move on to shooting guard and talk about some dudes there. DeMar DeRozan in that Cleveland game, 9.2K salary. And I think it's okay just because he's been boss all season. 49, 45, 52 FanDuel points the last 3 games. That first game against Cleveland, DeMar DeRozan put up 44 FanDuel points. Another safe play. I feel like he's going to get close to value there, almost guaranteed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel you there. I mean, at some point, this crazy hot streak has to stop, right? I mean, he's shooting like 50%.
I don't know.
In the field for the year. 52%. I mean, at some point, that's got to come down on that many attempts. But, I mean, it feels safe right now, right?
Yeah, it feels safe right now. And his teammates have been talking about him like he's Jesus. And like, oh, he's been they were saying stupid stuff like, oh, he's been doing this for, you know, forever in practice. But now he's just, you know, he's comfortable. And then DeMar DeRozan was comparing himself to Neo in The Matrix and how the game is slowing down for him and stuff like that. Like, I mean, it's the hyperbole is great. I love it. It's very Bill Walton of them. But, yeah, anyways, I'm going to believe in DeMar DeRozan for a little bit longer. He's 30. He's the new Jordan, dude. He's scoring 35 a night, you know? So
at some point though, they're going to keep raising. I mean, they've been raising that price a lot over the last like 2 weeks. At some point they might price him out.
Right. So. They just haven't done that yet necessarily. So, hey, why not get on the train? What about CJ McBuckets, CJ McCollum, 7.4K. It's that Chicago game. I like the idea of CJ McCollum just shooting lights out against Dwayne Wade. I like that a lot.
Yeah, no, I like that play. Those guys always seem to do pretty well when they're at home. And so I like that play tomorrow quite a bit.
Yeah, and McCollum scored 40 and 33 FanDuel points last year against Miami. So that kind of again, it's just a good buy. There's definitely upside with CJ McBuckets. He had 48 FanDuel points, 53, 47 recently, another 50 point night earlier this season. So definitely is upside. I'd like that play at 7.4K a lot. Nicholas Batum, 6.5K. And he's had a couple of good nights back-to-back here. 35 and 41 FanDuel points the last 2 games. And that makes me feel comfortable with him right now.
I felt good. I recommended him on Friday, and I said he was going to have his best game of the year, and he did. He had 35 FanDuel points against Toronto.
Hey.
So I felt good about that. Minnesota, I mean, who's going to guard him, first off? Is it going to be Wiggins? Or you think you're going to play Wiggins tomorrow at the two?
I would guess that Wiggins ends up guarding him, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if I love that, but...
Or wait a minute. No, well, yeah, definitely. Definitely Wiggins.
I would think. He's been getting a lot of shots. You like that? He's been doing a lot. Rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, a little bit of everything. So you like that. I don't love it. Don't hate the play tomorrow.
Okay, Wiggins might guard Batum, but Batum probably will only have to guard Bielitsa if Levine is out. Because won't they put MKG on Wiggins?
You would think they would.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he needs 32.5 FanDuel points. I could see him getting that.
And maybe that's like – maybe that's Batum's, like, secret elixir this season is MKG. If MKG is healthy, Batum's not going to have to worry about playing, you know, exerting as much, you know, energy on defense. So, anyways.
You love that, right?
It would be pretty cool. Sean Kilpatrick from the Brooklyn Nets. He is 5.5K going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. I like the matchup. And Kilpatrick's like the shooting guard version of Tim Frazier right now. He's a 5.5K player who you plug in and you feel pretty confident he's going to get you value back right now.
You love the fact that the Lakers, I mean, they don't play a great deal of defense, especially in the backcourt. So you love that. You love the fact that he's getting as many shots as he wants pretty much. The minutes have been anywhere between 28 and 32, 33 minutes the last few games. So you like that for him at 5.5K? I mean, I don't love it. I don't hate it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Lou Williams, 5.2K that same game. Lou Williams has been hitting like value on 5.2K, like or thereabouts, or about 5K, pretty much every game for the last 2 weeks. So it's just a comfortable play.
Yeah, we actually talked about Lou in our season-long show a lot last night. He is crazy high on the ESPN player rater so far this year. He's really been sinking his shots. Yeah, I mean, against Brooklyn tomorrow, you don't think they're a great defensive team. So I like Lou tomorrow.
What about Josh Richardson, 4K? Look, I'll admit he hasn't had like the greatest performances yet. Even on Monday night in 20, he started for the second straight game with Goran Dragic out, but he put up just 8 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal. I get that, but there's like a. I think there's like a cusp that or there's a hurdle he's going to get over. And we're going to start to see Josh Richardson start to play like he played last season. But he's still just, I think, finding his way back from his MCL injury.
It's a great punt play. I mean, at 4K, he only needs like 20 FanDuel points. I think he can easily get that. I think the worry might be that he sits out. Second of a back-to-back, right? And he's coming back from that knee injury, so maybe they rest him. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that, but I guess it's always a possibility. But, yeah, no, I like the play a lot if he's actually going to play and he's going to get out 28 minutes.
Well, maybe the fact that he only played 28 minutes on Monday, maybe that'll help secure him playing again on Tuesday. But you're right, it's definitely a possibility that the Heat decide to rest him. And if they do – maybe you look a little bit harder at Tyler Johnson at 4.9K. I think actually in that situation, you'd start looking really hard at Tyler Johnson at the point guard slot. Nick Young, 4.2K, just another safe play. He's been putting up consistent value, you know, for his price.
Yep.
Iman Shumpert. 3.9K versus Toronto. If J.R. Smith is out again, it's just like if you only have 3.9K and you don't want to put Joe Harris in and you don't have 4K to maybe roll the dice on Norm Powell in a tournament lineup, those are some of the lower salary guys I would consider throwing in. I think Joe Harris at 3.6K is just another safe play. Like if I was going to put in a minimum salary guy, I would say Joe Harris feels like the safest. Norman Powell's interesting just because DeMar Carroll sat out last game, but for the last several games, DeMar Carroll's been playing like 22 minutes a night, even though he's been starting at small forward. So looks like there's a potential crack opening for Norman Powell to get a larger role going forward this season. Well, we'll see.
Sadly, it might be the end of the line for Damari Carroll. He has not looked great.
Yeah. Yeah. He was always a role player who just kind of – he's like that mythological character who flew too close to the sun. That Daedalus. Or I think it was Icarus. His dad was Daedalus. Yeah, there we go. Anyways, we should probably talk about small forwards instead of mythology.
You want me to take it over here?
Please, sir.
All right, so top play on the board. Money-wise, you got LeBron James, 9.9K against Toronto. What are you thinking about Bron tomorrow? Averaging 47 FanDuel points a game this season.
As you said, it's mainly you're just you know that he can put up a 50-point FanDuel night. I'm okay using LeBron. He only put up 36 FanDuel points against Toronto in their first game this season. You just make sure he's not going to be sitting out. And I would only be ponying up for him if you have like some reason to hate Jimmy Butler.
Fair enough. So next guy up is Jimmy Butler, 8.6K. He had the huge 64.1 FanDuel point game in his last game against Washington. They are playing at Portland tomorrow, which you love that matchup. Thoughts on Jimmy Butler? You're going all out for him?
No, not all out, but if I was going to spend big on somebody and I was choosing between Butler or LeBron right now, I would feel more comfortable with Jimmy Butler in this Portland game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you just like the matchup a little bit better. Over 62 FanDuel points in two out of his last three, which, I mean, you don't want to put too much stock in that, but obviously he's been playing real well. Next up, you got Andrew Wiggins, 6.9K. He had the 47 actual point game last time out against the Lakers, 56.3 FanDuel points. So he's coming off his best game of the year. I could see probably tomorrow in some tournaments he's probably going to be really high owned due to some recency bias. He's playing Charlotte, probably going to get mashed up against MKG. Thoughts on Wiggins tomorrow?
It's the MKG. That's what really scares you. Is he going to put the Kawhi Leonard type kind of clamps down on Wiggins? And that's what scares you. Because Wiggins, with Batum and MKG starting on that wing, there's nobody for Wiggins to post up, you know, the way Wiggins was the other night against the Lakers. Yeah, I think Wiggins' price is good. You're just a little bit worried about the matchup. But if I was only looking at the price, I'd be having Wiggins in tons of lineups. But the matchup is going to make me pump the brakes a little bit.
I totally agree there. Next guy up is MKG in that same game. 5.4K salary tomorrow. You love the fact that he got 41 minutes in the last game. He got 28 FanDuel points. He's had some games right there. He actually had a 43 FanDuel point game against Milwaukee in the opening night of the season. Thoughts on MKG tomorrow?
You don't hate him, but you're not. Like, he had that the first game of the season, he had that 43 FanDuel point night where he had 23 points, 14 rebounds. We've seen him score 3, 7, 6, 6, and 2 points, like literal points, in different games this season. He's putting up consistent steals. He's getting blocks. Like, he's doing stuff all across the board. So there's intrigue there, especially if, you know, in a sloppy game, he can put up some great stats. I don't know if he's going to get a sloppy game against Minnesota right now. I don't know. And
you want to play a fun game? Well, we'll play a fun game. We'll play a fun numbers game. Okay. I'll tell you, he got 12 field goal attempts in his last game. He got 18 field goal attempts that opening game against Milwaukee. I want you to guess how many field goal attempts he's gotten in every other game. There's been 2, 4, 6 other games. How many field goal attempts has he gotten?
Total. I'm looking at the number. I'm going to say like 30-ish.
28.
Oh, hey. Nice.
So you don't love that, right? I mean, he's basically getting 4 or 5 field goal attempts in every other game. So you're probably betting that he's going to get either 4 or 5 shots in tomorrow's game.
He's got a decent floor right now, but his ceiling is poop for the most part. And yeah. But there's the whatever. Yeah. I don't love Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. If you want to throw him into some tournament lineups because you got to, you know, you're aroused by him for some reason because of his awesome rebounding numbers, which I'm not against that. I get aroused by rebounds as well. Kevin Love, circa Minnesota, back when he was pulling down like 14 a night on the reg. Man, that was awesome. Who else are we looking at? A small forward.
Next guy, Justice Winslow, 5K. He's gotten you that value in 3 games this season, so you like that fact. Tomorrow, he's going up against the Atlanta Hawks. What are you thinking about Justice Winslow for tomorrow?
He's not terrible, but I think he's like a tournament play. Like if you think he's going to have one of his good nights, because we have seen 3 different 30-point nights out of him, 34, 31, 36. So if you're getting, you know, you're going to be getting a good return on your investment if you're paying just the 5K for him, if he has one of those nights. But I think he's a relatively safe play. I might be looking other ways.
I actually kind of like it. I think I'll have Winslow on some of my lineups for tomorrow. I mean, I don't love it, so it's only going to be some of my lineups, but I think it's fair, it's reasonable, and I think he's got the shot to get it.
He always ends up in my lineups because of his salary, because it's like, oh, a $5,000 player who has upside? Yeah, I'll throw him in. But when I'm taking in the whole of his what he's produced so far this year, and you see it's not nearly as bad as what I started to let myself feel it was. But I'm super optimistic about Winslow. I don't know. I don't know why I was feeling a little bit bugaboo-ish about him.
Yeah, no, see, you just gotta roll with the wins tomorrow. Come on, just a little bit. Not a ton. Same game, you got Kent Bazemore, 4.8K. Tale of 2.5 so far for him. He was not very good there. And then in the last 4 games, he's gotten you 34.8, 35.7, 18.7, and 31.5 FanDuel points. So he's really kind of turned it on there in 3 out of the last 4. Thoughts on Bazemore for tomorrow against Miami?
Yeah, at 4.8K, I think you're that, like, that's a fair salary for him. And I'd be fine throwing him into some of my lineups. What worries me about Bazemore is him trying to get his buckets at the rack against Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside standing down there. Yeah, he did not play terribly good against Miami last season. 13 and 18 FanDuel points, and then 39 and 20. So, hermity herm. That makes sense, though. He's kind of mediocre, 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 and then boom. So, and then that's what Bazemore does, is he's just very average, and then every once in a while he's like, oh, look, I put it all together tonight. So, sure, some tournament lineups with Bazemore. Why not?
I totally agree there. Next guy, Mo Harkless, 4.6K. They're playing Chicago tomorrow. He's got you 28, 21, 15, 29, and 30 in the last 5 games, I'm sorry. I actually kind of really like Mo Harkless tomorrow. Thoughts on Mo Harkless?
I think he's an easy guy to get in your lineup because he's playing so many minutes, and with Al-Farouq Aminu going to be out for another like week or so at least, it just he's in a good position right now. Mo Harkless is that at 4.6K, I like that. Chicago, how many guys do they have to match up with him? Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic. They're probably going to start. Who's Portland going to start at power forward? Are they going to start Harkless at small forward or power forward on?
They've been starting Myers Chicago the last two games. So
Harkless might have to match up against Jimmy Butler, most likely.
At least to start the game, I would think.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I'm completely fine with it. I was just trying to talk through the whole situation there.
Oh, yeah, no, you're fine. I actually just like to play tomorrow. I think cheap salary, and I think he's going to get the huge minutes, which he could bumble his way into the points you need. Just does a lot of different things. Next guy up, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, coming off the giant 42.6 FanDuel point game. This guy's always, even at a low salary, a little bit of a worry for me. What are you thinking about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson for tomorrow?
We've seen two big games now out of the last five games he's played, 37 and 42 FanDuel points. He's just a really good tournament player right now for me. And, I mean, at 4.3K, even the other two games, that his big games bookended, 18 and 19, he was putting up value in those games. So I'm really comfortable with him right now.
Yeah, I feel you just don't. I mean, the shot always kind of scares me, but I mean, I think this team just needs scoring so much that I think he falls into 10 points a game. He's going to get you big rebound numbers. He's actually been getting a lot of assists, which I'm still undecided if I think that's going to keep up or not. But he's going to give you steals, give you blocks. Hopefully you can limit the turnovers to two or three. He's a pretty safe play.
Yeah, I think he's more of a do-everything guy than what people have probably given him credit for. He's certainly looking that way with the assist numbers we've seen recently. In the last six games, 6, 6, 2, 4, and 4 assist-wise. And then the thing is, at the beginning of the season, through the first three games, or rather four of the first five games, he played just 22, 23, 24, 22 minutes. Now we're seeing him play 32, 26, 28, 30. He's getting more minutes, and if that trend is going to continue, and we're going to see Rondae Hollis-Jefferson continue to be leaned on more and more, he's an opportunistic player. He's out there waiting for other players to make mistakes so he can get steals, get blocks, and get easy buckets. So I think the more minutes he gets, the greater potential for him to continue to put up these bombastic nights.
I feel you, and I think this is a kind of a good position too, where you can maybe get a couple of cheaper guys and then kind of spend up some other positions. So that's always a nice thing to have in your lineup. If you want a total punt guy, Brandon Ingram's 3.5K. What you like about it is it's been pretty safe, somewhere between 26 and 28 minutes pretty much every night. He's gotten you a 25.7 FanDuel point game this year. He's gotten plenty of games right there where he's been like 18, 19 points, which is just a little over the value you need. I play in Brooklyn. Thoughts on Brandon Ingram for tomorrow?
3.5K just doesn't seem like it can really go wrong because he's playing close to 26 minutes every single night, and he's getting value pretty much every single night or close to it. So it just seems like a very safe play for a minimum salary guy if you want to save some money.
Totally agree. All right, on to power forwards. Next guy, we got Kevin Love, 7.5K. They're playing Toronto. Thoughts on Kevin Love for tomorrow's game?
He's good. Sorry, I didn't have his thing pulled up yet. 7.5K for Kevin Love.
He got you like bang on that value the first game they played Toronto. Played 36 minutes, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers, had 37 FanDuel points. So he's right there.
He's safe. I don't. If he doesn't hit value, it's going to be close to value. They've made a concerted effort, Cleveland have, to feed him the ball early, get him involved, and then that just that way he doesn't have to hunt for shots. That way he doesn't have to force his shot. They feed him early, and it's been working out really great for them all season, as they have just one loss so far, and that was to Atlanta. So, yeah, no, I like Kevin Love. I like his situation right now, and the salary is just – it's reasonable.
Yeah, I think he's a great, great cash game play, and he's even safe to throw in some tournaments. Next guy up, Paul Millsap, 7.4K. They're playing at Miami tomorrow. The blowout thing worries you a little bit. He's coming off his worst FanDuel point game of the season. He got 13.3 FanDuel points. That might – drop his ownership a little bit, so there's kind of an opportunity here to get Millsap in your lineup and maybe get a good game. What are you thinking about Millsap for tomorrow?
Just looking at his track record this season, it's like on one game, off one game, you know, off one game, on one game, off one game. So if you're going with that rather rudimentary analysis or strategy, he was really crappy last game against Philadelphia. He put up just 13 FanDuel points, as you said, so he should have a good game this time. I would say I'm not necessarily comfortable with Millsap, but I'd be more comfortable using Kevin Love at 7.5K.
I feel you. They're very similar prices, and I'm definitely favoring Love between the two guys. Next guy up, you got Julius Randle against Brooklyn. Their Lakers are at home, 6.4K. Randle's had some big games. He's had 31, 25, 32, 40, and 22 in his last five games. Thoughts on Julius Randle for tomorrow?
I like the fact that he's been getting it done in the assist category and even getting regular steals, occasional blocks. Definitely helps give him some better value. I also like the matchup against Brooklyn because they've got similar stretch-out-the-floor guys, playmakers, or just kind of versatile forwards and big men like Trevor Booker and Luis Scola, so it should lead to at least the usual minutes for Julius Randle. That's what kind of here's what bugs me about Julius Randle right now. He's playing 28 minutes every night, whether there's like a good matchup or a bad matchup. Like he's getting his that's what he is in the rotation right now, and you would like I want there to be the possibility on those nights where he's producing really well for him to get bigger minutes. And it just doesn't seem like that's in the game plan right now.
Well, that's like everyone in that Lakers rotation. I mean, like Walton doesn't play anyone more than like 28 minutes. And so it's actually really kind of odd, but it's been working. So.
Yeah. Look, you like the, in general, four out of the last six games, you've seen good value for the most part out of Julius Randle. It's a relatively safe play, but there is some potential bustability.
I feel you. Next guy, Trevor Booker, 5.6K. Same game. We talked about Booker a little bit last night. He's been really good and kind of surprisingly good. He's ranked like 40th on ESPN's player rater so far this year. Last four games, he's gotten you 34, 34, 20, and 36 FanDuel points. So you obviously love that. Thoughts on Booker for tomorrow against the Lakers?
It's hard not to like him right now. You don't want to – it's not even necessarily like recency bias or anything. Like, yeah, he's had three substandard games, but other than that, he's had seven really good games. We don't know the outcome of the Monday night game yet, but – yeah, no, I like the price. I'd definitely be rolling with Booker in some of my lineups.
Totally agree there. I think it's just a little too cheap for what he's been producing, and I don't see any reason why he doesn't keep producing that. Next guy up, you got Taj Gibson. The picture on FanDuel is very not flattering to Taj. 5.5K at Portland. He's been kind of consistent. In his last five, he's given you 29, 33, 29, and then it dropped off a cliff. He gave you 11, and then he got back up to 23. Thoughts on Gibson for tomorrow against the Blazers?
He seems like a safe play. I don't think that, but the ceiling is, look, he's like super safe play. He's been hitting value most nights, but there's not really a boom potential for him because in general he plays about 27 minutes. That's what he plays.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he's a good cash game play. I'm probably not sticking him in any of my like big GPPs just because I don't think, I mean, unless I only have 5.5K left for a power forward, because I just don't think he has the ceiling to bust up and give you like 40 points. Next guy up, you got Gorgui Dieng, 5.4K, against Charlotte tomorrow. This guy has been crazy. He started off the year great. He was getting over 35 FanDuel points in each of the first three games. Then it dropped off considerably. He's gotten you one almost 40 point FanDuel point game in the last five, but the rest have been 22, 17, 16, and 14. Thoughts on Dang for tomorrow?
It's weird. I mean, he's still getting the minutes, so you're not necessarily finding reasons to run away from him. He had a 33 FanDuel game against Charlotte last year. I think more than anything, I just right now, given the floor we're ceiling or seeing and how bottoming out he's having. I think in certain respects, I'd be going away from him, even though he's just 5.4K right now.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. He's making me run right now. But these are the kind of guys Daniel every once in a while will say he likes to throw into a tournament just in case he goes off. He's probably going to be real low owned, which is always nice in a GP, big GPP.
Word.
Next guy up, Marvin Williams, 5K. Same game. They're playing Minnesota tomorrow. He's been super consistent. In the last three, he's given you 29, 28, 26. Thoughts on Big Mar for tomorrow? Oh, this is your least
Man.
favorite player in the world, isn't
Yeah,
it?
I just it's I like I don't know how to I'm looking at his recent production and it's all I want to say is like, yeah, there's that's the reason why you go away from him, you know? But Marvin Williams, wow. He has actually put up value recently.
Here's what I'll say about him. I think he's a cash game play. I don't think he's got really a very high ceiling for tournaments, but I think he's got a decent shot to hit value. So in some of my cash games, I might throw him in.
He scored 25 and 31 FanDuel points against Minnesota last year. And that was the same starting front court. So it seemed like a safe play. Marlon Williams, 5,000 or 5K. Yeah, he's a safe play.
So if you're looking to kind of punt at power forward, I'll mention four guys and I'll let you take the one you're believing in most. You got Nikola Mirotic, 4.3K at Portland. You got Nemanja Bjelica, 4K versus Charlotte. You got Larry Nance, 3.8K against Brooklyn. And then you got Myers Leonard, 3.6K versus Chicago. Any of those guys tickling your fancy?
If Zach LaVine is out, Bjelica is super interesting because of the awesome night he had the other night when he started at small forward and Andrew Wiggins shifted down to shooting guard. So, yeah, if LaVine's out, Bjelica's super interesting. And at 4K, even if LaVine comes back, you might throw Bjelica in as like a pump play or something to see how things shake out. But yeah, it's I mean Bjelica, if LaVine's out, he's gonna be in like everybody's lineups all over the place. So
So yeah, so I mean, you obviously have to make the decision if you're with him or you're against him. And at 4K, I mean, I think I'm definitely gonna be with him. The guy I'll mention, Myers Leonard, 3.6K. Ever since Aminu went out, he's played 22, 29, and 25 minutes. I think he started the last two games. He's given you 17.5, 19.3, 17.8 FanDuel points. He's kind of safe, right bang on just about the value he needs. So if you're looking for someone super cheap so you can get in some big name guys, I think Myers Leonard's a pretty decent place to look.
Yeah, yep. As long as he's still getting with Aminu out, it seems like they're trying to take a look at Myers Leonard as a starting power forward next to Plumlee. But they've also, we've also seen them start Alan Crabb. We've also seen them start Noah Vonleh. So there's the potential for Leonard to get lost. And if there's something that scares me about Leonard is maybe he was just out of sorts early in the season because he hadn't played basketball for so long after sitting out due to his shoulder surgery or shoulder issue. But Myers Leonard can really, really, really struggle on defense at times, and that'll get him yanked. So there's just that's the biggest concern with me is that on a given night, if Leonard is struggling with his defense, he just might not play much at all.
I feel you.
Cool.
Any other power forward you want to mention?
You know, Mirotić is always an interesting, you know, the 4.3K, throw him into a couple of tournaments, see what shakes out.
He did get 40 FanDuel points in his last game, pretty close, 39.7 against Washington. So you like that?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's just it. You know, the boom potential is there. And I don't know why I started saying the boom potential tonight, but it just started coming out for some reason. I think I've been infested by 90s stuff. But yeah. The other thing is thinking about Portland, and if they decide to go with that Alan Crabb, Mo Harkless lineup a lot, you also got Evan Turner kind of in there in the mix, Jake Lehman. If they go with these wing options more against Chicago, then maybe Chicago has to or gets forced to play in Mirotić more than what they do some nights.
Yeah, totally agree there. One guy I'll mention too is Channing Frye, 3.9K for the Cavs. In his last three games, he's gotten you 22.9 FanDuel points, 10.5 FanDuel points, and 28.6 FanDuel points. So he's gotten you good value in two out of the last three. I don't know that I'd be totally buying into it, but in a tournament, again, if you want another real cheap guy to throw in your lineup, you could maybe do worse than Channing Frye.
Straight up. Derek Williams started at power forward on Monday night against San Antonio, but he only played 15 minutes, so you're not getting too juicy into Derek Williams. But if the Heat decide to keep Derek Williams in the starting lineup against Paul Millsap on Tuesday, maybe look Derek Williams as a tournament option some places.
I could see that. All right, ready to move on to centers?
Yeah.
All right, top price on the board is Hassan Whiteside against the Hawks, 8.5K. Miami's at home in that game. He's gotten you the 8.5K value in four out of the last eight games. He's kind of been anywhere from 23 to 55 FanDuel points this year. If you just look at his last five games, he's gotten you 47, 23, 49, 36, and 49 FanDuel points. Thoughts on Whiteside for tomorrow?
I'm comfortable with him. I think he's a comfortable play at 8.5K.
I agree. So next guy up, you got Karl-Anthony Towns, 8.4K against Charlotte. He's reached value in only two out of his nine games so far this year. But in the last six, he's been 56, 39, 34, 41, 44, and 39. He just seems like a super safe right around 40 FanDuel points. Thoughts on Towns for tomorrow?
You wonder kind of why his price hasn't come down, you know, more to like around eight. Can I just get my $400 back? If I could get my $400 back, I'd be a lot more I'd be a lot more into this. But no, I think it's safe. I can get behind that. What did he do against? He put up 52 points against Charlotte last year and 43. So does that inform us? If that informs us, then we should definitely be buying in on some stanky leg Carl Towns.
You stole my thunder a little bit, because I actually think he might kind of have his biggest game of the season tomorrow. Ooh. Just because Charlotte's going to kind of throw out Cody Zeller. Roy Hibbert's probably going to play a little bit. They're going to throw a bunch of different guys at him. Spencer Hawes, maybe. Maybe they try to throw Frank Kaminsky on him a little bit. And I just think he's going to torch those guys. And so I'm looking for a nice 50-point game from Towns tomorrow.
I like it.
All right, next guy on the board, you got Dwight Howard, 7.9K against Miami. The last six games, he's given you 46, 38, 44, 33, 38, and 28 FanDuel points. You don't necessarily love the matchup against Whiteside. What are your thoughts on Howard for tomorrow? I'm off Howard personally.
You know what? He didn't play in either of the games against Miami last year.
Oh, he's afraid of Whiteside.
Yeah, he's a fraidy cat. I'm a little bit afraid of the price on Howard right now I don't know, man. It's not terrible. It's not great. I totally would be fine with Howard in some of my lineups, but I'm not excited about it.
I think you answered your own question, though. I think you're going to find someone down here, since you only need one center, that you'd rather put in. And just the him haul. And I think you answered your own question. Like, you're not in love with Howard.
If
you're
gonna play, I would much rather pony up the extra 500K for Cat or 600K for Whiteside. Like those guys way better.
I feel you. Next guy up, Brooke Lopez. He sat out to rest today. So I would assume that means he's definitely playing against the Lakers tomorrow.
For sure. 6.8K.
Last five games, he's been 50, 22, 32, 32, and 29 FanDuel points. I personally really like the matchup. I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. Thoughts on Brooke Lopez for tomorrow?
Okay. I'll say this. He has a high ceiling in that, like, yes, he can go out and put up a crap ton of production. But if they're only going to play him 28 minutes still, now that frustrates me.
I'll second that.
And then the fact that he is – so he's 6.8K. It's like he hasn't hit value on that except for that one night where he went – For 51 FanDuel points against Detroit.
He dominated Drummond, which I'm still not sure how that happened.
That happened because we talked about it. We were talking about Drummond matching up with, I think it was before that game, we talked about the fact that Drummond has issues with Brooklyn. We saw it in the preseason because they just spread it out. Brooke Lopez is out hanging out at the three-point line. Drummond's like, what the hell am I supposed to do? You know, I'm supposed to be down here getting rebounds and stuff. So it just confused stuff, which maybe that funks some stuff up with Timofey Mozgov. So, yeah, you're right. The matchup seems super interesting. I would say Brooke Lopez is more of a tournament for me than he is a cash game, though.
Second that, and I'll say that I'm throwing him in maybe one or two tournaments if I'm playing quite a few tournaments. I'm not throwing him in a lot. I think the matchup's good enough where you could see a possibility for a huge game, but I'm not banking on it just because, like you said, he's only playing that 28 minutes. Next guy up on the board, you got Jonas Valanciunas. This is kind of a hard one to peg for me. 5.8K at Cleveland tomorrow. He got you 45 FanDuel points in his first game, and then it's been 29, 24, 22, 22, 27, and 23. He's only played 21 and 22 minutes in his last two games, which you don't like that. Thoughts on Valanciunas for tomorrow?
I'm going to avoid him. The 20 and 22 minutes the last two games since he came back from his knee contusion, I don't like that. You do like that he played in a back-to-back when he came back, though. He came back, he played in the back-to-back. Now Toronto has another back-to-back, though. So it's totally possible that the reason Valanciunas only played 20 and 22 minutes is because when they brought him back, they're like, oh, yeah, we're bringing you back, but it's on a back-to-back, so we're going to limit your minutes total for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm avoiding, just because I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and I don't know that the big minutes are going to be there, and that kind of always scares me off. Next guy up, Mason Plumlee, 5.1K against the Bulls tomorrow. Portland's at home. Last five games, he's gotten you 21, 25, 14, 33, 27 FanDuel points. So he's been right kind of on value there in three out of those five. Thoughts on Plumlee against Chicago?
I'm like waffling because we've seen Robin Lopez play really big minutes lately, and that makes you feel like, well, matchup wise, maybe then Plumlee will get big minutes on that night because we've seen 30, 32, 34, 31, 34 minutes out of Plumlee on given nights, but we've also seen a lot of 14, 21, 21, 24, 20. Like, there's too much variance here. If I knew Plumlee was going to get the minutes, yeah, I would be bullish.
Oh, you banged it on the head too. Every time he gets the big minutes, right? He gets you real good production.
Yeah, it's it's because he's, you know, it's those awesome assist numbers from a center.
I feel you. So, I mean, you could throw him in a little bit. I wouldn't go crazy on him. Next guy up, you got Tristan Thompson, 4.6K. Against Toronto, last five games, he's gotten you 41, 26, 4, 18, and 24 FanDuel points. He's going to get rebounds probably, but I'm not sure he's going to get you anything else. Thoughts on Tristan Thompson?
You know what? He seems to play really good against Toronto. So through three games against them last year, 20 FanDuel points, 27 FanDuel points, and 28 FanDuel points. He just seems like a safe play at that 4.6K.
And, yeah, this year, I'll mention he got 36 minutes. He gave you 11 points, 10 rebounds, one assist, and two blocks, and 28.5 FanDuel points against the Raptors. So I kind of feel all right about Tristan Thompson tomorrow.
He seems like he seems very, very safe. You're going to spend that 4.6K on him, and you just know you're going to get value back. So I actually like that a lot right now.
I feel you. Next guy up, Robin Lopez, someone you already mentioned a little bit, 4.4K at Portland. You like the fact that he's gotten you 30, 38, and 38 minutes in the last three games, and that's translated to 13.5, 27, and 29 FanDuel points. Thoughts on Robin Lopez for tomorrow's game against Portland?
He did used to play for Portland, so you wonder about revenge game stuff there. Last year against Portland, 11 FanDuel points and 24 FanDuel points. I think it's fine if you throw Robin Lopez in a couple of tournament lineups. I wouldn't go crazy with him.
I feel you. He's been getting the big minutes, so I think he's worthy of a tournament play, you know, and maybe he gives you a nice big double-double and you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Any punt play centers you want to mention here?
I don't know if it's a punt play, but Lucas Noguera has had such good production lately. He's up to 4.6K salary-wise, though, so and the thing is, Noguera was playing so well because he was getting minutes. That's not the right way to phrase it. He was taking advantage of getting extra minutes with Valanciunas being out and then Valanciunas being limited in his return in his last couple games. But you love that the way Noguera's gotten his production is he's gotten big blocks numbers. He's gotten big steal numbers. He's going out there and he's doing it in a lot of different ways. So that's interesting. I just hate that they put him up to 4.6K. But Noguera is an interesting tournament option. He's had 35, 23, and 27 FanDuel points the last three games.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in that situation, so I'm definitely not playing in my cash games. But in the tournament, I mean, maybe he goes off.
Word up.
Other guys, when you get down here in the center market, it's not looking pretty. So I don't know if there's a real great punt play. I'm probably not looking past Robin Lopez tomorrow if it's me.
Yeah, and the fact that you can get Robin Lopez for 4.4K and then Tristan Thompson at 4.6, if you're looking for just a safe option, you know, I would go that way. Even if you want to spend 3.6K on Timothy Mozgov, he's probably going to get you close to 15 FanDuel points. So that's kind of safe play too.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you need 15 FanDuel points and you only got 3.6K left, the Moz might do it for you,
but
it's probably all you're getting.
Yeah, try to find more to get Robin Lopez probably.
I feel you.
Cool.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's it.
Yeah, me too. Cool. Well, hey, thank you for listening to the show, everybody, today. I'm Kyle McCune. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA, and this is
Tyler Watts. You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444.
We love you. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow about Wednesday's games. Bye, everybody.